Medusa's, your kiss Medusa's touch. Turn into a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry for you, and a dagger's thrust with your hair?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Revision Media at revisionmedia.org. Today is Thursday, May 7, 2020, and this is the Roundtable Unlimited. This and every Thursday, we present Roundtable Unlimited, featuring unlimited moderators, participants, and topics. Listeners are encouraged to call in and join us weekly for our regular round of open forum discussion. I'll be your moderator for this evening. Station manager. I do a show Wednesdays, Arcane Semantics, with Richard Carey. And be sure to check out my show and all the other shows when you can. And we have Graham Sutherland here with us as well tonight. Graham just finished his show, 21st Century Jacobite, if you were listening to the prior 2 hours. Graham's in Inverness, Scotland, and I'm in the Midwest, in the mega city of Chicago, Illinois, over in the U.S. Graham, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, pretty good, Richard. Yeah, all things considered.
All things considered, indeed. Yeah, I mean, how are things over? Over in Scotland there, as far as, you know, the shutdown of business and everything, have things picked up at all? Is it the same all across the UK, or do Scotland, England, and Ireland all have a bit of their own mandates?
Yeah, they've kind of got a bit of their own mandates. There seems to be more kind of a rebellion. Rebelling against the lockdown. There seems to be more of that happening in the north of England and in Scotland than it is in the kind of main heartland of England. That's what I would say. But certainly things are relaxing a bit. There's definitely more people out and about, more folk in the street, more cars in the street. I think people are not necessarily rebellion against the state. I think it's just the fact that a lot of people need to get out and make money and, feed their children. It's necessity. Simple economics, really.
Oh, I agree. There's no question at this point. It's far beyond, those who question the official narrative of things or not, people who look into so-called conspiracy theories or just follow the independent media as opposed to the corporate media. Even everyday folks who don't follow any news whatsoever and just, take it from friends and relatives who listen to the official narratives, even they just can't put up with this no matter what they believe anymore. That's a very good point. And we're going to see more of this. We're hearing threats of food shortages, at least across the U.S. here. And at the same time, I mean, a lot of these small food producers, farmers, and meat processing plants are still under lockdown, and they're being forced to destroy large quantities of vegetables and meat, which could, of course, be put to good use you know, if the government would rethink a lot of these decisions, especially when at the same time we're getting threats of these food shortages to expect, you know, this entire season. And already the farmers can tell from the amount that's been planted and has not been able to be planted, just the amount that has not been tilled in the fields and such, but also with the animals. I'm sure things have been impacted over there. Are you hearing similar projections about any kind of upcoming food shortages in the UK?
Yes, absolutely, Richard. I mean, it stands to reason. If we've got the same vehicles on the road, obviously not the same distribution going on. However, it's not just that. It's the fact that farmers are being told to plow cereal crops into the ground, fruit into the ground. This is a fruit season, and they're being told to, you know, they can't pick it, or there's not the pickles to pick it, so it's just being plowed under. And also, even more alarming is, you know, they've had to slaughter tens of thousands of chickens, and just, you know, waste the meat. It's crazy. And indeed, pigs and stuff. It's shocking. It freaks me out, actually, more than anything, because I absolutely hate waste. I absolutely hate waste. Wasted food in particular.
It goes against your morals and your...
just goes against the grain totally, Richard. Yeah. I hate wasted food. I hate it.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes against humanity. And I mean, yeah. Even regarding the leaders, if you can call them that, you know, these government and corporate officials deciding on this sort of course of action and how detrimental and just how much the science doesn't even support a lockdown for this sort of a situation, quite the opposite. I mean, and you don't want to flatten the curve. You want it to peak as soon as possible. You don't want to lock anyone down, the elderly and those with comorbidities, but that's about it. Regardless, I have trouble believing that they didn't know better and that this wasn't engineered as far as the way they decided to respond in the UK, across Europe, and in the United States. And likewise, with this food situation, as we say, projected shortages, and yet people forced to get rid of what they have. This is a planned, I don't know what sort of assault on the native population this could compare to. I mean, I think of Stalin, honestly, and how much the Ukraine people were starved as a good example. I mean, there's no justification for this. This is a planned sort of attack on the population and even going at their food sources. But this is an Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Right out of that rule book, one of the things they need to accomplish is centralize all food production so they have complete control and monopoly and no one dare cross them, basically. I mean, so they're trying to phase all this out just like small business. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. This has been in the playbook for a long time. I remember watching videos back in the 90s by a guy called Barry Smith. He was either New Zealand or Australian. I think it was maybe Australian. And he was a retired school teacher and a pastor. He was an English teacher and a pastor, and he made a lot of Barry Smith, and he made loads of predictions about the coming New World Order and everything, and how they would centralize everything, take away the steel industry, for instance, from the UK and move it to Europe. And they did the same thing, he spoke about that, they did the same thing in New Zealand and everything. That, you know, they told them that they couldn't, there were certain businesses they weren't allowed to have. They were going to be, it was to create interdependence, that's the whole thing. They want to create interdependence. So New Zealand was just going to do sheep. we're going to be a sheep farming nation, and timber and sheep, and that was it. And Britain was being reclassified for financial services and internet services and stuff like that. And yeah, we were all going to be interdependent. You know, we basically rely on each other. Nobody will be, they didn't want independence. And small business was going to be crushed. They want big corporations running everything, because that way they could control the masses much better.
And isn't it ironic how this whole shutdown, and even if you believe the official narrative of this fear of the contagion, has really been an argument against globalism. All the interconnectedness of everything, you know, where you can't shut down one aspect without others. You have all of this potential for cross-contamination with the open borders and just the amount everyone has to get a lot of what they eat and use from outside their borders in other nations. If everyone produced plenty of food and products for their own nation, if we didn't have such an open border, internationalist, globalist sort of policy being forced down everyone's throats in recent times, we'd be in a much better position, if you believed the official narrative even, of what we were dealing with this pandemic, and that the lockdown were the right approach or something. Regardless, just for it being able to spread, and for all the economy going down if parts of it do, which is what we're seeing here right now. We're going to have all of Europe and the U.S. Completely sink. I mean, many are saying we're looking at least a 13-year drop, decline. We won't reach rock bottom, you know, financially and just the state of our infrastructure until 13 years from now. And as you say earlier, yeah, I agree. I'm not sure the U.S. will ever be able to recover. At the very least, the United States better keep sending money to Israel every year, and those payments better not decrease at all. At the very least, okay? Because that is clearly what's important. But outside of that, yeah, I think the U.S. is it's not looking too good for this world power image it's trying to project to Russia and China, especially, for the future.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can see it all. You can see it all kind of falling into place. However, the economies, the world, it's like a domino effect. They're all kind of collapsing. They're all kind of collapsing at the same time. It's quite alarming, to say the least. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't give out the number. You folks should know out there, though. The number's on our homepage, and it's normally on Facebook. I should have just put a general ad. You know, I'm considering that for the future, Graham, to just put, like, not put titles anymore on Facebook. Just put a general ad for each of our shows. You know, the time of day and week, day that it's on. And that way, if anything ever gets shut down for a while, people will still see the most recent posts, just a general ad. They check it out every week and all that. They'll know to look for archives on the website, hopefully, without even having the link provided. But it's really frustrating, because that's the main way I was trying to get more, more people involved and participating around the station here. Certainly as callers. But folks, if you want to join in the roundtable tonight, please too. That number is 855-492-6049, and that number is toll-free. So that's 855-492-6049. And I should also welcome, we have another gentleman on hold, actually, to join in here. I'm sorry. Mr. Johnny Sabalos in Texas. Johnny, I didn't realize, maybe I never heard you mention, that you were originally from Washington State, and that makes more sense to me now. I mean, you're you don't have a Texan accent. Even your personality, it seems to be in line with something like Washington State more than, I don't know. Not that you don't seem like you can appreciate the Second Amendment, just like I know those Texans down there certainly do. But how long has it been, and have you adjusted? I mean, I understand in Texas most people are pretty conservative, care about their First and Second Amendment for sure. But then, of course, in a lot of the larger cities such as Houston, it's pretty much just as much a liberal social justice warrior hellhole as where I am in Chicago or over in Los Angeles or New York. I don't know. What would you say about Texas and Washington and just your perspectives? How long have you been there?
Oh, yeah, Richard. Man, I was born and raised in San Diego, California. And my family went through a little quick divorce, and I don't want to get too in topic on that, but I was raised in El Paso, Texas for the majority of my livelihood, middle school and high school.
Oh, okay.
And when I moved to Washington, my junior, end of my junior year, senior year, I moved from El Paso, Texas, and everybody said, man, you have a strong accent. You talk like you're, like, from Texas, Hispanic. Okay. And so I slowly lost that accent when I was living there for about 9 years.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So when it comes to my political views as a hardcore constitutionalist or liberal, I used to be liberal. I used to live in Washington, Oregon. And I used to be like, well, let's just be liberal. Just let everybody love everybody. But obviously, as growing up as an adult, you know you can't give out things for free.
I went through a lot of phases.
You just can't do that.
Oh, yeah, I went through a lot of phases growing up as well. I understand. But so originally you say California. What city did you say in California originally?
San Diego. My father was Navy. So we were born on the base,
nice.
The Navy base. The Naval
I see
base
that
before
in you.
They took it down. So.
I see that in you, totally.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so it's a little strange.
Well,
but,
a little bit of
no,
nostalgia for a patriotism that you can't support as much anymore, perhaps. Learning about the nature of our wars
things,
and our controllers,
Richard.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. All of our identity politics, I call it identity politics because sometimes we'll persuade in one direction or the other. Graham, you, I, and my views change as much as you or Graham, but we're very hard to change when we're so set to our ways. But I would like to get into the topic, if I may, with what we're talking about, you and Graham.
You may.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you may, I was just saying. Please. I shouldn't have got so off topic.
Why is it? No, I appreciate you actually asking about my personal upbringing because, a lot of people ask me that question. They always ask me, like, how are you Hispanic and you do this, and how are you from California but you believe in this? And it's not about identity politics, folks. You know, perception, identity politics is what got us to this point. So when it comes to the topic that I'd like to talk about, what you guys were reiterating on, why is it that America, as such Graham is saying, we're destroying our agricultural goods. We're destroying our livestock. Now, the reason why I believe that
they're
destroying our livestock...
Well, they want to centralize, right?
Yeah, they're forcing the farmers. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I want to get into.
It's all about
they're forcing this. Big
boys.
Yes. And here's even the crazy kicker, Richard, is that they're going to make a plandemic, not a pandemic, but a plandemic of resources, agriculture, good, or livestock. And people are going to say, man, we really wish we had a better system. We really wish we could control what's going on globally in this global market. And how are they going to roll out this? It's going to be 5G. I've talked about this many times, and of course, you already know that I reiterate and I stomp on this. But when it comes to destroying agricultural goods or livestock, and then they say, oh, there's a global shortage. No, there's not. There's just mismanagement. There's global destroying this resources. Why are you burning thousands of pigs, inoculating thousands of cattle, burying millions of crops, onions, whatever it may be? This is where they say, we need to roll out 5G globally. And what is 5G? 5G is a systematic system through the controlling elite to then say, okay, well, we could give you this much in this country. We could give you this much in this country. Now, why would they do that, Richard? Why would they do that, Graham? It's because this is eugenics. That's all it boils down to. They want to kill the third world countries. They want
to kill people everywhere in a lot of ways.
Yes, all right? Exactly.
There's no one method, so, but yeah. I mean, vaccines are definitely a method. Even the additives in all of our foods. I mean, it's more aggressive in the United States. They have more laws in Europe for a lot of the harmful ingredients in foods. But I mean, there are just so many different angles. It's certainly our best interests as far as keeping the amount of people healthy who are on the planet, that's certainly not on the agenda and not on the list. But
I think the most important thing is the shutdown.
The important thing I was getting back to again and again earlier, or thinking that we're not focusing on enough, and I guess is what I was trying to point out, is that the leaders, okay, those in power, they knew better than to think that this shutdown would do anything other than the harm which it is already showing and is going to continue to do. And it's destroying the rest of the capitalist free society. It's not even capitalist that we've had, but I mean, they want to destroy it all, I think, to bring about new order, you know, and the whole new world order that George H.W. spoke of is what they want to bring to fruition in their lifetime. You know, a lot of these old oligarchs are on their last legs. I think they'd like to see more progress before they die. And, you know, that they want that's why Soros was ramping up all the immigration and for that matter. I mean, that's why they had 9/11, and that's why they have this. I think it's a controlled demolition of the economy, just like the controlled demolition of the Twin Towers. I think that's the
Richard,
best way to put it.
When you say economy, may I ask you what economy you're speaking about?
I'm speaking about the fact that they're transferring wealth once again. They needed another crash, okay? Things were overinflated. They wanted to destroy small business more, consolidate more production of things, including food production and other types of goods as well, for that matter. And this was a perfect way to accomplish a lot of that all at once. Reconsolidate more of the real tangible assets and goods, property, from the hands of the many to the hands of the few, and be able to have a convenient bailout for the banks without any reason for them to be blamed, especially with this forced shutdown. I mean, to get this bad this quickly, even though a further crash was on the horizon, for everything to have happen this quickly and to not have a coronavirus to blame it on, and then to say that the banks need a huge bailout again. I mean, you could really have rioting in the streets. You could really have a second American Revolution, for that matter. And, you know, we look at a lot of what made other countries be willing to accept people who wanted strong change to help their situation. I mean, look at the situation in Germany. I mentioned again Adolf Hitler's Germany of the 30s and the people being in such dire straits after World War I there in the Treaty of Versailles and the conditions on the people, the Weimar engineered poverty and depravity. So, I mean, the banks needed something huge as a scapegoat. is the best way that I can explain it. And this was it.
Yeah.
And like I say, you can bail them out without anyone blaming them for anything. And it's just so extreme, this engineered destruction of many lives. I mean, many people, of course, the markets are benefiting for people. I mean, people are benefiting in the market who are part of all of this, such as the big banks, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. They've profited tremendously the last couple months. But everyone with their retirement that's tied up in the stock market, you know, everyday people and people who have small businesses, yeah. People who have just lost their job permanently because the small business can't last until things reopen. Everyone is getting destroyed. So that's what I'm talking about when I mention the economy. What I
mean,
Johnny, when I say the economy, basically, I mean everyone other than, you know, the elite, as far as the ultra wealthy, the banks, the big corporations, and government employees. You take all of them out of the equation, and everything else is what I was referring to when I said the economy. I mean, they're engineering the destruction of everything and reconsolidating. It's the crime of the century, literally.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Graham.
I agree with you, Richard.
We haven't heard much from Graham, and before it gets later and later over there where he's still a little alert, let's hear. Here's more of what he has to say for the round table.
Yeah, I think we should be alert because the country needs alerts.
What's that, Graham?
I said I think we should be alert because the country needs alerts.
The country needs alerts?
Yeah, be not sure alert.
Not sure I get that joke.
Be alert. Because the country needs louts.
Lerts.
Louts, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm not
familiar.
That's a joke. It was good.
Oh, man, it went down like a lead balloon.
Well, I just have a question. I don't want to preach. Sometimes I feel like I do preach. But I do have a question for Richard. And it wasn't I putting you on the spot, Richard, but... And hopefully you don't feel like that, but what happens when the Chinese economy crashes? What happens when America's economy collapses? China and America have the biggest
Chinese
economies. China,
the Chinese economy
China
is not
small
Johnny. The Chinese economy is not in any danger of collapsing. Okay, I mean they own so much around the world right now. They have
point.
So much invested everywhere. Okay, in Europe, in America. A lot of debt.
For $1.3 billion,
hey,
you think they could take care of that?
There's a lot of debt owed to China across Europe and America. They have a lot of ownership in Australia, which they've been building for quite some time, for a couple decades at least. And they've been investing heavily in mining natural materials.
Raw materials.
Yeah, in Africa. Considerably, and now a lot of other countries are trying to catch up there while there's still something to claim. So, I mean, the Chinese are not in any danger. Yeah, they're not in any, they're not connected, okay? I would say that their economy is separate, as it should be, and the same with Russia. All right, I mean, when we talk of this, and I mentioned a lot of these countries, we have like 50% of the nations of the globe now trading outside of the U.S. trade SWIFT system and just outside of this whole domination of the petrodollar. I mean, we just have a service economy here in the U.S. We don't produce anything anymore. Everything's outsourced. And the only thing that was keeping us up afloat to be able to be giving away money to other developing nations every year, to give the ridiculous amount of money we give Israel every year, to be able to fund all these wars and just constant standoffs with superpowers just to try to strut our muscle. This is not going to sustain any longer. But, I mean, it's separate from Russia and China, okay? I'd say that a crash will affect Europe and the U.S., you know, a lot of the Western economies, banks, corporations, all right? But I'd say that that is separate from China, as is Russia, is separate from Russia. Well, so I mean that, and like I say, a lot of nations are not connected to that of the globe as well, but there is a good portion that is, and that is, I'd say, what's interconnected, at a great detriment at this time financially, because we're all going to have dire straits for quite a while. Graham,
well, if I may.
Graham, well, no, I'd like to hear Graham elaborate a bit first.
Well, he never finished, Richard.
Well, okay. Well, if you could finish briefly, because like I say, I'd like to hear more from Graham as well before he's out for the count there. Well, I'm curious to hear more about his take on how he thinks the U.S. is finished for good, basically. But go ahead, finish what you wanted to say first.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard. I wasn't trying to trump anybody or stump anybody, but America and China are the biggest powers when it comes to trade, domestic, foreign, whatever. And you could disagree with this at any point in view. But let's just say all the countries that we're talking about, our sovereign countries, wherever we're from, collapse. America does have a lot of power when it comes to domestic, agricultural, and livestock goods. Hence the reason why they're saying, we have to kill these animals. We can't go to China and they produce bacon or chicken nuggets or whatnot. And, of course, there's a big power struggle right now between China and America.
No, I think you're listening to the... Actually, I think you're listening to the mainstream media too much. Because all they want
to
talk about is China.
No, whenever I don't even listen to
the news. Well, listen, the only thing out there right now when they're not talking about coronavirus is talking about China and blaming China for everything. That's a big strategy out there.
I'm not even saying I blame China.
All right, well, it's coming from the deep state, and we don't need to go there. We don't need to focus on China. Graham, you think the U.S. is finished for good. Is that right? You don't think they'll ever recover? After the amount everyone's been out of work and just the amount the economy is going to take a nosedive, take so long to recover.
Well, just look at the national debt clock, Richard. It speaks for itself. I've never seen the number. I look at it about once a week. I find it quite interesting. I like numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I've always liked numbers. And if you look at the numbers of the national debt locked. And compare it with the federal tax revenue, it's flying down. The national debt's flying up. At ever-increasing speeds. It's quite obvious what's going to happen. The bubble's going to burst. We're watching it bursting. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I mean... And they're just making it happen a little bit sooner with this forced lockdown. But,
sure.
Do you think that, I don't see the U.S. financially in the future being able to project power militarily as much. It seems like they're trying to get everything going now as much as they can, these war hawk politicians. Before something serious really shifts financially, and therefore their potential to continue any of this. Would you agree?
That's right, Richard. And that's how they've got to make a move. America now has to make a move. They've spent all those trillions on arms and ships and planes and bombs and missiles. They've bankrupted the economy. There's no other spending. So now they've pretty much got to attack China or Iran or start a war somewhere. And then that way they'll be able to use all the hardware that they've spent so much eye-watering amounts of money on, and they can reset the economy at the same time. They've kind of got to do it. It's kind of obvious. It's what they've got to do. It's the only thing they can do. They're out of options, and all they've got, they are losing influence in the world for sure, and the petrodollar's kind of collapsed and been rejected all around the world by you know, the other big players and everything. So they kind of like painted themselves into a corner. They don't have many options. And one of the options, one of the obvious options, is they need to start a war.
Well, yeah, that's always been the plan in the past when these bankers have been into a have been backed into a corner, basically with their finances. Definitely go to war if all else fails, and and then we look at the past.
This is a substitute for war. This is an alternative to actually having hot war, but it's serving the same purposes. So we are at war, but this is a new kind.
Hey, welcome.
Novel, if you will.
Welcome to the roundtable. We have Mick in Georgia joining us. Hello.
Hi, Mick.
Hello. Hi, guys. I hope you're well.
Yeah. Yeah, doing great. I do wonder, I mean, are we going to ever see a point where the U.S. can't continue this sort of military phallic waving sort of policing?
Don't you think I think that's where we are now. Mm-hmm. We're in the death throes of that that paradigm that we were all born and raised under. We're in the death throes of it. And the question is, can we come out without bloodshed, or you know, in some new way? Because the internet is providing unprecedented worldwide knowledge, and so we don't necessarily have to have some, you know, slaughter. Everyone's talking about everything. It's going to be civil war. I mean, of course, that could be, but it doesn't have to be because we have information. So we can find ways to just defeat it with just wisening up the whole population.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I think of in the past, I mean, you mentioned war as a resort, a last resort. In a lot of these financial straits, these overlords find themselves. I know of how even the Pearl Harbor attack was known about in advance, and even there was a lot of provocation leading up to it on the part of the U.S., wanting that as something to further fuel the U.S. Sentiment toward being willing to get into the war, for that matter. And I notice right now we have the U.S. They're with their borders of Russia. I mean, the borders of Russia in the sea, over in the South China Sea. I forget the name of the area where the last year or so we had a lot of conflicts with the area waters near Russia as well. I mean, it's a lot of provocation we're seeing from the U.S. unnecessarily, you know, and clearly they're in the other team's backyard most of the time. It's unjustifiable. And, of course, the Middle East, we are doing so much policing there, and most of it is to control the area, to keep nations that Israel doesn't like down, and to keep dominance for Israel, most primarily. And of course, their biggest enemy is Iran. Of course, they don't like Syria as well. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, I completely agree. But you said Israel, so I have to say, man, why all the hate? Why all the hate? I can't believe you said that.
Healthy sarcasm.
It's not Israel. It's a Jewish cabal. It's a different thing. That's like saying everybody in the United States is warmongering.
Well, that's true, Graham. I mean, there are hardcore globalist and Zionist and Bolshevik Jewish factions, and you'll see that in Israel, in Europe, in the United States, everywhere. But then there are also people who oppose it as well. I mean, I know of an Israeli saxophone player who speaks out against Zionism. He's a pretty great guy, Gilad Atzman. And then, of course, a lot of people are familiar with Brother Nathaniel. He's a Jew who converted to Christianity and speaks out against Jewish power. I understand there's supposed to be a good interview with him. It's going to be broadcast tomorrow by Dr. Patrick Slattery over on RBN. Look forward to hearing what Brother Nathaniel has been up to. So, no, yeah, I totally get your point, Graham, and I agree. And, you know, I don't even think Hitler had that attitude. You know, I mean, he had high-ranking officers in his SS who were half-Jewish by blood. As far as he was concerned, they were honorary Aryans, and they were against usury.
Exactly.
They were against usury and a lot of the communist ideology that was being pushed by the Jewish factions in Germany at the time. That's all that mattered to him, even. So
be so stupid to just hate across the board. I mean,
right.
It's just not realistic to have this idea that, oh, I just hate because I hate. No, the behavior's never questioned, and the people are just painted with this broad brush and just like, you cannot ask any questions about this, or you are a hater, Nazi. And most of us, I'm sure most everyone listening to this, realizes how we were propagandized about World War II. And it's just insulting, really, to paint Hitler with this monster brush, you know, the epitome of evil. And now that when you start thinking about things, you realize that's what they did with Hussein and Osama bin Laden and all that. It's cartoon version.
Gaddafi.
Yeah, it's cartoonish, and it's insulting.
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, we know the game plan, though. We're aware of their MO.
So, how about Plandemic, this film, and this video that's circulating? Have either of you encountered it?
What's that?
It's Plandemic, and it's a 25-minute video that is circulating all over the place, being criticized and debunked, and then shared and shared and banned. And so it's marketing for the apocalypse, kind of 3D chess. I don't know, but it features a woman who's basically accused of being a discredited scientist, going back to the 80s during the AIDS pandemic, and she worked with Fauci all the way back then, and got into conflicts with them and was ultimately charged with stealing secrets. And anyway, basically she's painted as a renegade a hero who is speaking out against what's going on right now, and it's quite convincing, but then it also has these unfortunate elements where the people who don't want to question what's going on can say, hey, look, Snopes debunked her because she has a profit motive for her book, whatever. So anyway, this something to watch out for, because the rapidity with which it spread on Facebook was notable. Everyone's talking about it, including people who don't want to talk about conspiracy theories. So I don't know if it's indicative of more people waking up or something, but It does feel like things are moving forward in a zeitgeist way, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah. That's interesting.
And it's good news, I think.
There's been a lot of good news, and amongst other nonsense, it's been quite a lot of good news. I would say, well impressed that Trump has dumped Bill Gates' model, Fauci's model, and they're basically their panic programming, and you know, all the scary numbers, and he's rejected it all. I'm really pleased with that.
Yes, that's right.
I really thought for a moment there in time that the Fauci stroke Bill Gates crowd had basically hijacked everything. And, you know, Trump had been warned to stand down or he would get killed or whatever. That's what I was starting to think. And I was just wondering because he was, you know, he seemed to be flip-flopping for a bit. Seemed to be internal battles going on, but it seemed he's made a stand now. He's nailed his colors to the mast, which is good.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not convinced of that. It's really hard to understand Trump and all of this.
It really
because
is.
It could be really a strategy where he seems like he's the one who keeps on encouraging people like us who are talking about this. Because, I mean, he's the only one who seems to, he's making any sort of stand against this wave of fear mongering. So, yes, I continue to hope that there's something there. But, sorry, someone's just testing me. I'm aware that this could be a strategy as well. So where we just keep on hoping and hoping with Trump for him to do something. Meanwhile, the worldwide police state clamps down in ever-increasing increments. And you know, we just let it happen. So we don't need a hero, a single person. I think this is something that requires us to use the strength of our numbers. And I hope that I see that happening with the spread of this video that I mentioned. Not because it's necessarily on target. It could be controlled opposition, but the idea that people are spreading it because people are having questions about the legitimacy of this reaction and being locked down. And it's like, I don't know anyone who's sick. I know people who say they know who know people who are sick, that kind of thing. But it's all hearsay. I have not, nor do I know anyone who has felt severe impact of this that it justifies locking down the entire world economy.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep insisting that this is for economic reasons and economic scapegoat. And then, of course, there are dozens of other reasons, many people with their own agendas that they're trying to push during this. There's no question. So that makes it confusing for a lot of people out there. But I'd say the number one reason is economic. And that's why it's been seized upon. The second might be control regarding vaccines and perhaps like digital IDs, I don't know. They'd like to gradually get this more accepted by the public and find ways to justify it, you know, especially this chipping idea. And that could move toward the cashless society goal some of these people have for more control combined with the social credit score, you know, lock you out of the system. You can't buy groceries if you disagree with the official narrative this week. But I think there's definitely many motives, but it's a test too. Many have pointed out, just like I was mentioning Jade Helm, you know, the last couple months, and I think that they're definitely studying the response from the public, how much they can get away with, and they want to destroy lives, I think, and redistribute wealth, get rid of a lot of small business competition for these big corporations, you know. I mean, don't you see that consolidation as there's too much organization along those lines right now for this not to have been planned by a lot of those in power, I think.
I agree, absolutely.
I'm sorry, Graham, did you have any more to add? Or Mick, did you want to take the floor?
Let me think about it for a moment. I mean, there's so much to talk about.
I think Graham may have stepped away at the
Richard.
Moment. He's on mute.
Richard!
Johnny, I thought you left the conversation.
Now, Richard, you may disagree with this topic. America's not a big producer, but we have to remember the wheat belt and all these livestock. Why are they trying to get rid of the livestock or kill them? Global market, well, Johnny, I believe they're trying to do this with the agenda.
I keep saying again and again here today that the reason is they don't want anyone but the big companies to be controlling the food. All right, they don't want small farmers. They don't want small food processing businesses. They want the large companies to control everything. All right, that's my answer to that. Sure.
Well, let me just reiterate what I've from said what to
I,
you before.
And from what I understand, I just heard it confirmed that currently the food producers in this company, I mean in this country, are for the most part owned by four corporations. Only two of those are U.S.-based and the other two are Chinese-based. Now, I know Tyson.
Well,
I know Tyson is one of those four. They're one of the U.S. ones. The point is that we had large companies controlling a large amount of these that shut down because of some workers coming down with COVID, claiming to come down with COVID-19, and they don't want liability, lawsuits, whatever, or just the public image. Regardless, that was the official claim why a lot were shut down in that case. It just shows how centralization is a bad thing. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous where we have four owners of most of the food producers already, and two of them aren't even U.S., they're Chinese. So that's the U.S. for us, okay? Two of the four that own everything, as far as all the big production and ownership of food cultivation, that's Chinese for two. So that's not really U.S. when you even talk about U.S. and production. It sounds like we've sold out even in agriculture.
I was talking about China and U.S., though. Well, I even brought up China.
I don't think China's in any danger of anything, again. Hey, do you have another point regarding geopolitics
for the future regarding
U.S. and China? And perhaps you could direct the question at Mick. I'd be curious to hear analyze.
Mick, and the question is to all of you in general, but are we not all aware, Mick, Graham, Richard, that the USDA, the government, subsidizes 83% of the farmers, which underlies the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture? And this goes back since the USDA. That's my question. Why are we seeing all this famine with livestock happen? And who is telling the farmers to do this? It's the USDA. And the USDA is a bureaucracy, self-sustained. So when we talk about local farmers, I'm all for local farmers. But who subsidizes 83% of the farmers? It's the USDA, the federal government.
Yeah, this is not a subject that I could claim any deep knowledge of. But I understand it to be another example of centralization of control. So if you are centralizing power over agriculture, then you've got control over the food, then you've got control over the people. And so it just goes part and parcel with everything else that we're seeing. That's all I can say about it.
Brandon and I talked about that with Henry Kissinger, and Richard brought this up earlier.
Okay, well, no, Johnny, then, I don't know, what else are you trying to address with what you wanted to bring up here?
Thank you, Richard. All I'm trying to get at is I believe that we're all agreeing upon what we're talking about today. Now, when it comes to this whole coronavirus, COVID-19, and the manufacturing jobs, and or Walmart or Costco, they're all working together. Let's not pretend here. When you go into Walmart, when you go into Costco, they say, wear a mask. Well, guess who owns Tyson and is having partnership with Walmart or Costco? They're big wholesalers. Tyson. Now, why is America subsidizing 83% of the farmers through the USDA? And if we do a lot of research after World War One, World War Two, USDA was implemented in 1888. After Lincoln, it was after Lincoln, the USDA was created, 1886, I believe. But why I bring this up, the important reason why I bring this up is we have been in a focal factor since Lincoln, after the Civil War, I believe it was, 1886 with Lincoln. Now, isn't this where America started getting their funds from Europe and other nations? And isn't that exactly why America has been in a globalist market, a nation? Now, there's
I don't think things suddenly changed with Lincoln Lincoln's era in particular.
Well, he brought up the USDA. He passed that.
I don't really think it's that significant as far as a turning point for our nation.
Well, we think about the WHO, the FDA, the USDA. They're all alphabetical bureaucracies. Isn't that what's making America harm right now is these bureaucracies, these self-appointed officials?
A lot more than just what you mentioned there. But they certainly contribute. And that sort of interaction between government and big corporation is a large part of our problem. But first and foremost, we have to get rid of these banks, this fiat currency. You know, we need to destroy the Federal Reserve, okay? That is number one.
I agree.
Forget, you don't need to talk about all this other stuff to the end of time, and because it's so insignificant compared to this. You need to talk about this
a
lot. You need to bore everyone with it. But you need to get it out to more and more people so they bore more and more people with it, with the amount they beat it on their ears, you know, and eventually you could maybe get more and more people aware that that's really the sort of thing you need to do for change. I mean, so I don't know, you talk about a lot of abstract rabbit holes that don't really seem to be as important as the things that they really fear you talking about that you're never going to be able to talk about on the corporate media. You know, the so-called mainstream media is something like the Federal Reserve needing to go away completely. You know, that's that third rail.
Well,
one of those third rails you don't touch.
And of course,
Jewish power related to these private central banks. Well, that's another third rail for sure that you're not going to be able to go to. But I mean, definitely the sort of corruption you refer to with those companies is the same sort of behavior that is systemic.
Well, as such Graham was saying, as such these globalists, Henry Kissinger, and you brought up another individual, Richard, if they control the resources, they control the food supply, then they control the masses. And that's all I'm trying to bring up when it comes to the USDA, the WHO.
Yeah.
And this is where we're at right now with the whole coronavirus. I'm just trying to tie all of what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, like I said, that there are a lot of agendas. I don't think that the food aspect is the main reason. They didn't lock down all of Europe and America just to consolidate the control of the food supply as the main reason. I think, if anything, the biggest reason, like I say, is the economic factor. But as I say, everyone's cashing in on this everything they can, okay? We have legislation that's trying to put more restrictions on gun ownership right now in the midst of these relief bills. We have a lot of people focusing on race politically and trying to push their agendas towards certain groups that they cater to with their political persuading, who are trying to use this to their advantage. I mean, just anything and everything out there. But I mean, you make a good point where we're not all in this together, because we have the corporations and the government, the banks.
That's what they're okay. Richard.
They're doing pretty well, and everyone else is not going to do well. So we're not all in this together.
But that's where they separated, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's
corporate Walmart, corporate Costco. They buy from Tyson, and that's a private entity within itself.
Let's have Mick take the floor again. Hear where he wants to go with things. Perhaps a little shift in the topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you were saying in the beginning of your monologue was about masks, and I like to get into the esoteric of things, and I'm pretty sure Richard just does too. And I like to know your thoughts on this overt plague of people wearing masks and what that means symbolically. People covering their faces in public, people staying 6 feet apart. It just seems so blatant to me that I don't know. It reinforces the vibe that when you wake up about 9/11, you realize that it's all a movie. You really feel like you're just participating in a giant Broadway show. And this seems now that it's worldwide, it's like, I don't know. It seems like this is further evidence that life is but a dream.
And most people, are never going to get to our level of awareness. is what I would regret. Maybe what we're dealing with here, and that, I don't know. It's hard to see change. I mean, it suggests that it's a very small percentage, right? What is it, like 3? Like that whole 3%er organization, 3% represents, so it was only, isn't that representing 3% is all it took to stand up? Was it the Revolutionary War that we're talking about? Or
Tea Party. Right. Tea Party. Yeah. Revolution, yeah.
No, the Revolutionary War. That's yeah. What they're referring to, right, Mick?
Yes, you don't need the majority of people.
Right.
You need a tipping point.
Yeah, and we might be able to get that in time. There are a lot of people who are, but as far as this, I mean, there might be a lot of truthers out there who are aware of 9/11, perhaps, or the USS Liberty, but not aware of everything, but aware of some events, such as those are strong out there in awareness from people, but maybe are still believing the official narrative of this. They just can't imagine why all of Europe and America would lock down if it weren't as serious. If it is, they couldn't imagine, you know, that a lot of people thought there's a good economy, you know, and even people into the truth movement. I noticed, because I listen to a lot of people every week from a lot of stations and everything, and even a lot of people in the truth community aren't really into economics. They don't listen or read independent media covering economics that much, and thought we were in a good economy. They might be clued into most other things, but not that. They find it boring or whatever. I have been able to find it interesting enough for a number of years now, and you have a lot of sources of others, and of course, a lot of publications that show otherwise, that we have been in very dire straits. We never.
Well, good on you for that. Because, and you're right. The thing is that it's very boring,
right,
for the average person, me included. I'm totally guilty of that.
Right.
But I totally understand the importance of it. 9/11 was mainly an economic event, also.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's going on here. It's plain to see. But,
so if they wear the mask, even truthers are wearing masks. Because they can't see something being a big enough reason for this. They don't see that the economic reason could have been that big, as they don't understand the scale of how 2008 was really a precursor to something larger that still needed to happen in the near future on the horizon. And this, rather than something taking a little longer before it actually comes to that point, or just letting and also not waiting for something to just set it off accidentally, more or less, just to have a complete controlled demolition of the economy, like I said. So yeah, there are so many parallels to 9/11. And the psychological impact, though, of everything they're putting people through, like you say, the masks and the conditioning on a lot of levels of control and censorship, self-censorship, you know, shaming, reporting on your neighbor, apps that help you report on your neighbor. It's amazing how much this is turning into a communist sort of society.
We're living in a movie. It's awesome.
Yeah.
If I may ask the question, though, who is implementing that? Is it government or is it private entities?
Well,
and I would say
it's private entities who control government. All right, everyone in government,
well,
Johnny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. answers.
I'd say it's the people who own the banks, right? The big banks, and those people own the corporations, and they pay off the politicians or murder them if they don't do what they want. Okay, so it's definitely private entities who are the wealthiest who are in control. I think that's a pretty easy thing to answer, but sure, I mean, it's fragmented. It's not like there's one Dr. Evil and one agenda everyone's following. There are a lot of people trying to, as I say, use this to their own agenda. And, you know, it's not like everything's not so black and white as some superhero cartoon or even some
film.
Well,
why shut down Mick's business? Why shut down Richard's business? Because of big entities. And it's not that state or federal government could reinforce this. For example, Greg Abbott said, no, we're not going to enforce the face mask.
Well, but then, getting back to
at
the
a
face
local
mask
level, you have Walmart or Costco enforce that.
Okay, but getting back, because
now wait, getting back to the face masks and the psychological social engineering aspect that you were bringing up, Mick, I would say that this, because most people aren't aware of the economic issues, even most truthers, like I say, are therefore believing the official concerns, even still wearing the masks, maybe just aren't even educated on how that's not the best thing to do, the healthiest thing in every way. If you were to look into it yourself, but this might not wake people up in time now while it's still going on, just like it took years before we had a lot of people aware of 9/11, not that year when it happened. It was a much smaller amount that year. It wouldn't meet the 3% requirement then. And it's not going to maybe meet the 3%er requirement now in time before this blows over, where 5, 10, 20 years from now, it'll be obvious to more truthers, that it was ridiculous to wear the mask. You shouldn't have had the lockdown, that it was intentional to do more harm.
A new wave of awareness.
Right.
But I really feel, and I certainly hope, that new wave of awareness is becoming on a increasingly tight frequency, where it's not going to take, like, for me, 9/11, I had problems with it from the beginning, but I bought it hook, line, and sinker until 2009. And at that time, I got laid off in that economic crisis and found myself freelancing, so I had a laptop and an internet connection and a lot of free time on my hands. And started looking into 9/11, and that's when I discovered Building 7. I saw a loose change for the first time and went down the rabbit hole in 2009. But
that's
was when the internet was nascent, right? I mean, when 9/11 happened, the internet was nascent. So,
yes.
Everything is so instantaneous now that I really think that we're tightening the curve in a good way.
Yeah, I don't know when.
I think that we're not actually, Mick, with this face mask, with these indoctrination unjust laws.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't know when we'll actually be able to have reached that 3%er threshold, if you will, for change in this nation.
But
didn't
they reach that 3% before we are?
I don't know what event might trigger enough people awake. Or be obvious to enough people, you know, in a short time to get to that 3% or threshold. But I don't think this is the event for the reasons we just went over. I think it's going to have to be some other event. And unfortunately, this is in the aftermath going to have a lot more draconian controls. They're not going to want to release power too easily regarding a lot of these factors, attributes.
Well, the face mask turns into
how we have NSA and ridiculous tyranny at the airport ever since 9/11. You know, we never left the war on terror, and this new normal they're threatening us with is just like that war on terror that just doesn't go away.
Yeah, this is even more in your face. Just want to say, remember to watch the language. He's been saying, Trump, this invisible enemy. This invisible enemy. And he also said this invisible enemy is genius. I thought that very interesting.
Yeah. I did too as well, Mick.
It's definitely setting us up for a psychological sort of draconian world we're supposed to tolerate from now on because...
Yeah, or... But or just...
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I... Go ahead.
Just consider... What if he's trying to do a little code there?
What would you be suggesting?
Yeah.
Mick?
Well, I'm still on the fence about Trump. I'm completely aware that he could completely live up to his name, and it's all in our face, haha, Trump, you. But also, I get back to the esoteric on this. I feel like this is this is a whole panoply of cinema, a world drama playing out before us, and we're actually in the middle of it. And other people from previous generations only heard tale of it. We're actually living in it right now, so it seems. And it's up to us to decide actually what happens, or maybe it could be for each person the outcome differs. I don't know, but I just really feel like just the fact that Trump is in the middle of this. He's so easy to despise for so many people. He comes off, he's a pompous ass. Look at how he's so blatantly painted, like a clown. And his, you know, orange hair and all of this stuff is just like a total showman persona. What if that's on purpose?
Well, what I would suggest...
I agree with you.
What I would suggest we should focus on the most at the moment... is anything we can possibly change by getting more involved locally at the local level. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. That's where all the real change away from totalitarianism will start if it does. And we're seeing that even now. You know, we're seeing a lot of sheriffs, governors who are actually being pretty decent in comparison to many of the others across the nation here in the U.S. And it just shows how there is a lot of truth to that. That change starts at the local level. Get involved as much as you can and get to know, you know, everything on that level. And I think it also shows us that this is a time really to get reminded of your personal development in life. I mean, there's only so much we can take the herd before it's ready to proceed. And there's a lot that we may have to do on our own in life if we really want to accomplish more than we can expect as a society as a whole. I mean, so I really think the local level and the individual development, this is an excellent
Richard,
time to get reminded
of the local
of,
level.
What's that?
Speaking of the local level, mm-hmm. I believe your mayor made some truth circuit this week.
Oh, yeah. Chicago?
Your mayor of Chicago.
Lightfoot?
Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. She gave a really tyrannical press conference, just basically saying, and if you baited, we will arrest you. We will put you in jail. And she got circulated with so much hate around the internet. All week long.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. Yeah.
if someone else wants to join us, I mean, I don't know if earlier it seemed like some people kept having trouble when they were reconnecting, but I mean, you can try again if you had trouble earlier, folks. If anyone else wants to try joining tonight, 855-492-6049. It should be working fine. The conference, toll-free call line. Johnny, I'm sorry, where else did you want to go from there as well?
Well, all I'm trying to say is I agree with both of your stance. And it's not that I'm trying to say one way or another, but like Mick is saying, there is a state right, a judicial right, and a government right. And so sometimes when people say, oh, I live in this city, Walmart says that they're abiding by these stances. It's not that we have to abide by anything. We don't have to abide by anything on these stances because we have God-given rights. So when Nick says this or we agree upon such and such, what we need to learn from all of this is that we all stand together. We all are in agreement that our rights will not be trampled on. And as a constitutionalist, I try to preach this, and I'm not trying to preach to the choir. And sometimes, just like the Bible, and some of you are not religious, but we have to understand that we're all in this together. If you believe that you're taking advantage,
no, Johnny, you're not allowed.
Advantage?
No, I'm sorry, Johnny, but I can't permit someone to say we're all in this together on this station. That's not going to fly here. We're not all in this together.
We each have a personal.
Well, you can keep believing that, okay? But I don't think that Jacob Rothschild feels he's in anything together with you. I don't think George Soros thinks he's in anything together with you. I don't think Benjamin Netanyahu feels he's in anything together with you.
We're all in this together.
A lot of people are very much trying to exclude you from anything positive or good for the future. All right, and this together. This is a way to pacify
Q.
the masses to try to make sure we don't reach that 3% threshold during this. That's what all of the media spreading. We're all in this together, and having all these celebrities talking to you from their homes and trying to nurture you and coddle you like they're your nanny. Okay, that is trying to keep us docile. I hope we drink enough fluorinated water. And stay
Kool-Aid.
And stay docile enough where we don't get any uppity ideas and reach that 3% threshold during this lockdown. Okay, that's why there's pressing. We're all in this together. I don't want to hear that from you, Johnny. That's ridiculous.
I don't believe in Q. Strong.
I don't believe in Q. Just
what's
to
that,
reiterate.
Mick? I didn't catch that.
Hashtag vaccine strong.
Hashtag vaccine throne?
Strong.
Strong.
Yeah, like Boston strong.
STRONG. Okay.
Yes. Being facetious.
Well, okay.
When I say that we're all in this together,
Don't even say it, Johnny. I'd say don't even say it, because we're not in any way, shape, or form.
I agree with Mick, and I agree with you.
I think that
maybe
you were trying to suggest is everyone outside of the big corporations, the big banks, and the government, everyone outside of that who is suffering due to this lockdown and who they want to keep more and more impoverished, permanently destroy the middle class, that is something they'd like to accomplish further along at least a bit during this.
In terms of that, Johnny,
everyone who's not part of the wealthy elite and the government and big corporations, everyone outside of that, if you mean by we, and that we all have to realize we're all getting a psychological operation and an attempt at global tyranny, if that's what you mean, but it's still not we all, because there are some on the planet who are outside of that and are responsible for all of this and are actually profiting from this. Like I mentioned, the two biggest banks, JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs. So when they say we are all in this together, they want you to think that there aren't any big banks that are actually doing better while purposely. They don't want you to think there's anyone who's purposely doing better while purposely making us do worse right now. And that's why they're saying we are all in this together. Okay, so that's the problem. It's not everyone who's in this together. There's a good percentage of the planet in this together, all right, and who needs to see what's going on, but not everyone. And that's a big difference, and that's an important difference, Johnny. Go ahead, Mick.
Well, I was going to propose a little change of subject, and just that I kind of imagine most of us are sharing and communicating primarily on social media. And so I wonder, what have your experiences been, and what are you doing What are you listening to? What are you sharing? What are you doing to be active, to be an activist about this, to rage against this machine? Is Facebook your main venue? Are you completely off Facebook?
Well, me, I do radio. You know, we have a show on Monday, Falling Dominoes, that just started with Gregory McGill. We have my show, Arcane Semantics, with Richard Carey Wednesdays, and then Thursdays, at least 50% of the time, we have Paul Edward Stevenson with Revelation, and then most weeks have Graham Sutherland with 21st Century Jacobite and this roundtable here. I mean, that is basically what I do. I mean, I listen to other radio and a lot of independent researchers, broadcasts, podcasts throughout the week. Otherwise, audio. I'm not into visual a lot, and I don't really interact with a lot of people. I'll read books and I'll, like I say, check those out, but I won't. I don't really interact. I mean, I'll post for the show on social media. I mean to contribute to those who repost good articles. I just haven't found time for that much lately. And there's so much censorship on social media. I just try to use it minimally to at least get a few people to be aware of this platform, this station here. You know, but maybe Johnny could answer that as well. Oh, it looks like we have someone else who joined us. Hold that thought, though. Let me welcome. Looks like we have Tony. Tony in Virginia. Tony Truther. Hey, how's it going, sir?
Fantastic. Am I coming through?
You're coming through loud and clear. Yeah, welcome.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. It's not good to... I'm sorry. Now I lost my train of thought where I was going. But, I will say this, and I'm not here to pick on Johnny or anything like that, and this is just a problem across the board when you do this type of format, is that you branch out into so many directions, and, you know, then you didn't get in what you wanted or whatever, and then you try to direct it back or whatever. But a lot of times you go into directions, Johnny, and then you don't let someone respond to it. Now, as far as, like, I mean, and you bring a lot of information into this, right, that, like, I don't know all the stats about this meat thing. I find it interesting. I thought about they talk about the meat shortage. I don't know all this. And now that the government has manipulated the economy through basically shutting down the restaurants and all this, and then I hear there's this meat thing, are they going to say, well, now it's our obligation that we guarantee that a certain percentage or whatever of the meat go to the restaurants to encourage, since you shut them down, right? Right? If there's so much meat, then should the supermarkets, who manage to have the monopoly? And Walmart, by the way, is China Mart. Okay, the whole, and I don't want to go into this, but just real brief, because I want to touch on some other things, is this idea of this, that they planted a virus or anything that they did. First of all, if they did, and this has been covered many times, we're tired of it, is that it's obviously not effective. And so it's just such a weak theory. And it's really just to get us to look to come up with a boogeyman, start a war, do whatever the hell you want, to not pay attention to these multi-trillion dollar stimulus bills that they're passing and they're robbing from your children or your grandchildren. But the thing is, we can't all be in this together. Oh, by the way, Amazon, Walmart, I mean, they're making a killing, right? So China's not being punished. They're making a killing. Walmart, you know, anyway. But no, we're not, we can't all be in this together, Johnny. And identity is, I mean, for one, you get on, you say you're a constitutional, to someone in Timbuktu, you know, in some other, in Malaysia or whatever, I can think any country across the world, that our constitution, our history, all that doesn't mean anything to him. And it wouldn't. And that's one of the problems with the mass immigration, to bring all these people here and to think that, they want to be free, they're going to enjoy our government, but they have no connection to its history, to where we got here, right? So we're just here for the plucking, and we can't all be in this together, right? Some people want a large centralized government that controls everything. Some people want to be independent, right? So yeah, identity may go beyond race, but keep in mind that race is a big part of identity too, because your ideology is bred out of your history, right? So anyway, I just want to put that in there.
Well, I agree with Tony. It's not about what we believe culturally wise. And when Tony said that we're all in this together, when I say we're all in this together, I say as the little man, as the minion. I'm not working for Walmart. I'm not working for Costco. I'm not saying we're all in this in together with Walmart or whoever it may be. When I say
well, what about his comment
together,
about
saying,
what about his comment about other nations?
Well, let's,
I mean,
let's be honest. Oh, I'm
the
sorry.
Globalist attitude against nationalism. Go ahead, Tony.
No, the only thing I'm going to say about us all being in this together, because you were gazing into the class thing, right? Okay, so like the little man, okay, which you did not qualify that at all, and no one listening would have known that. I just want to say, so that's important to qualify that. When you say wrong,
well, we're
together,
all
turning
media.
Man, Do you really believe that the people that mass migrate into Western countries are coming here because they really just want to get to know us because we're in this together? What they do is they set up, they want to be around their people, and they set up neighborhoods and things that look like them, and they surround themselves, and people left to themselves naturally do this. We are manipulated.
I agree.
And so we're not all in this together, right? I don't want to live in a neighborhood with thumping bass music and rap and all this stuff and woofers.
Muslims.
I don't want to live around. But you know what? I don't mind. If someone else wants to live that way, they
right.
can live that way. But
yeah.
I don't want to live that way, right?
We should all
and
be
people,
able to have our own.
People want to be around. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Richard.
No, go ahead.
Well, I happen to live in one of the most per capita diverse cities in the world. Because it has such a huge refugee population, but it's a good city, and it's the epitome of diversity in a healthy way. But it's an enclave. It's not meant to be across the southeastern United States where I'm located. It's an enclave. For whatever reason, it organically grew this way. It's not the same as these influx of refugees and of dubious. Origin into different cities, like why so many Somalis in Minnesota? That blows my mind. I have no idea, but it is possible. I have no problem living in a community that's full of different ethnicities. It's wonderful, but like I said, it's an enclave, and it just happens to be something that organically grew here. And it's an anomaly, for instance. But for the most part, I think we agree that people want to live amongst their own. So the fact that I live in a town that has a high percentage of Ethiopians doesn't mean that I have a problem with that. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. It's fine, right?
The
majority of Ethiopians live in Ethiopia, you know. So it's like Chinatown in New York City.
Well, yeah, there are.
You
there
know,
are a lot of ways.
That's not Chinese taking over New York City. They have their enclave.
But
that's
yeah,
a beautiful
I,
thing.
You,
I love
that. That's a you both
keep in mind
up,
though.
You both bring up very good points. As I think the one I did has validity as well. On economic and status sort of ways that we're not all in this together. And that certainly does seem like an oversimplification. Tony, you had something else to add.
No, I was just going to say, keep in mind that a lot of these people are other ethnicities and everything that you might like to hang out with or whatever and enjoy their company are voting against your interests. And not, I mean, they're going to smile in your face. Yeah, that's just a fact.
No.
That's why
you can't say blacks or Asian votes against your interests. I think that's an overstatement, a broad statement.
No, you have to look at.
I wouldn't necessarily say Asians per se because I don't know what they're how they.
Well, it doesn't matter if you say Asian, black, or Mexican.
It depends on the policy. It depends on the place.
I mean, these are facts.
The situation. Yeah, there are a lot of things.
America is.
I mean, Johnny. Even right now, Johnny, during this these relief packages, they're trying to have extra amounts. Set aside for various minority groups, even the illegal immigrants who you're not even supposed to be able to cite that they're illegally here, that they're already breaking the law and they're illegal and not a citizen. You know, they're trying to, you know, in California, of course, give taxpayer money to them. you know, and complaining that they should get money and doing this sort of thing. It's just absurd.
But I've agreed with you, Richard. I've even told you this. I agree with you as being Hispanic down here.
Okay, but you
don't
believe what about all of the what about
interest.
Well, you know, in every way, shape, or form, and it's always keeping the white male at the very bottom, and is never going to qualify, is never part of any of these programs. It's always basically they might as well just have programs for everything but the white male. It's practically what it can seem like these days with a lot of things out there. So
and
for you to say that people are not going to vote for politicians who aren't more in favor of all of these things, which started with the whole affirmative action sort of a racist format. That's what Tony, I think, was, and Mick were both getting at, that you're not, that's what you don't get when you see, politicians who are going to favor these illegal immigrants and all these benefits.
You didn't even ask me
do you realize,
Richard?
Do you realize that these people can have a business here for 10 years without paying any taxes? Okay, when you have when you have the United States born in this country individuals who have to struggle against that, and of course the hiring practices.
I don't agree with dual citizenship.
Even what we're seeing overseas right now, I mean, in England, for example, there's like 90,000 workers being hired to work in the fields to harvest crops, and they're not allowing any jobs to go to any native white British. Okay, it's all going to these immigrants from other lands. And it's just ridiculous.
But who enforces those policies, though?
Well,
is
there's
it
a lot
you
of
or is
well,
the politicians.
Well, it's obvious
these
that there's a lot of people. It's
of
not. Listen, it's the people controlling the politicians and padding their wallets.
Yeah.
Or it's obviously the
you
politicians.
Can call it Eon, Omar, you can
the
call
politicians
whoever, yeah.
are prostitutes, Johnny. Okay, they mean nothing.
They
it's the people
are
with the money. Tony. Whoever.
Okay. As far as this whole China's the boogeyman thing with the boo, to me, I just see that as an obvious diversion. I don't know what happened. I don't know all the theories. If someone finds out that this is man-made, I've heard that there was the HIV connection, proteins or something in this virus. But again, that's also based on the belief that HIV was man-made, right? So you're making that. And again, I don't know with that one either. But it just seems clear to me that it couldn't be it's not a very good weapon. You know, if we got less than we did in 17 in the flu. So even with this super flu, whatever, you know, they could say that. So I don't know. I just can't see that. I can see them popping up another boogeyman. Okay, we've been doing this deficit spending. Everybody knows that it crashed or somehow. I mean, there's, you know, you're going to, I forget the term, but whatever. And they need something to blame it on. And this corona is it, you know. And it won't matter. Once this thing passes and all the damage is done, and that's why they've just been dipping into this thing like crazy. I don't know where this is going to go. We may be forced into socialism and not have any choice after
Tony,
this.
Do you believe the virus, the threat is real? Do you believe that it's what we're told, that it originated in Wuhan, China?
To people that are over 60 and people with... And as far as actually dying, probably people over 80. Okay, people with pre-existing conditions, and of course, if you're elderly and you got it seems to be stronger than maybe any flus that we've known in recent history. But certainly not like any.
Do you wonder?
Flu is a virus.
Well, wait. It doesn't seem as bad as any flus in recent history. I mean, it seems not as bad, even with the inflated numbers. Honestly, I mean, the 2017 to 2018 flu here had 80,000 deaths. And, I mean, we even just had revised figures from the CDC. So the inflated figures were just cut in half. They had 71,000 in the U.S. And on Friday, they just said that's to be reduced by 50%. That they're saying they were incorrect. So you take 71 down. Okay, that's 35,500. Okay, compared to 2 years ago, the regular flu, 80,000 here. Okay, so, and of course, if that 35,000 is what they're admitting to, it's probably even lower than that. I mean, we're getting no reports, yeah, of regular flu, a lot of other causes of death this season. And of course, they're happening. It's just that they're getting marked as this. So I'm sorry, I have to disagree on that point, Tony. It's not worse than any other flu, even. It's not even that bad. But please, go on with your other points.
The reason that Richard just said matters is that because in any prior data, we didn't have worldwide lockdown. Okay, remember we're talking about numbers from year to year to year, like, oh, it wasn't so bad, or it was so bad. No, we are in an unprecedented house arrest across the world.
Everything.
It's way more serious. It's way more serious than a lot of people realize when you put that in perspective.
Healthy, right? I keep hearing it's the first time we've quarantined the healthy.
Yeah. So I mean, it's
the opposite of what quarantining is supposed to do.
Right.
And so that'll tell you a lot right there.
Certainly.
That plus having
why are they doing it though, Mick?
All these people driving alone in their cars with masks on.
Well, Johnny asked why you think they're doing it, Mick. We all have heard many times why I think they're doing it, primarily for an economic crash, reset, redistribution of wealth, destruction of middle class and small business.
Control of
Mick,
power.
Yeah, I agree with
Mick,
all those.
Why
points.
Do you?
I agree with
John.
It's
Tony,
you think they're doing that though?
Tony, you say you agree with me?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with all that. No, and I don't think it is, but
well, Mick.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. You're right.
Johnny was asking Mick. I guess Johnny was asking Mick what if he agrees with that, my theories, or why does he think they're doing this?
Yeah, I do. That's why I think 9/11 is the Christ. It's the awakening because it is the event that allowed the majority of people the most blatant chance to wake up to the level of deception that we're subjected to. And so the economic collapse is one tentacle of this octopus operation.
Yes.
And it's just a larger version of 9/11. It's
now, you know what I think woke up?
Worldwide.
But I think woke up people more than 9/11. More than 9/11. Yeah, there's a lot of truth people in the movement, people in alternate media like us, and there's many people on an alternate media, but that Epstein...
It looks like
most
Graham...
Most people don't believe the official story. People still believe the official 9/11 story. Most people do not believe Epstein, and they know this guy was crooked as hell and connected.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's enough to change anything, though, that one type of category...
The majority thought...
I mean, most people don't know of the influence
of Mossad. But not everybody makes the connection with 9/11 that you
they
got
don't
to. They still see that as CIA inside job. What's his name? Alex Jones was always.
Well, most people don't see the significance with Mossad gaining information on the United States, sensitive information through Epstein. That's the significance that will always pass over people's heads. It seems like Graham... Mr. Sutherland wanted to jump back in the conversation, though. Graham, what did you want to comment on all this?
Well, I was just thinking it's like an idiot test. It's like a precursor to something else. It's to see how submissive and pathetic and subdued they can get the public. Prior to the next wave. That's what it looks like to me. You know, just see how far they can push the luck. See how compliant we're going to be. See how much mainstream media can brainwash us.
It doesn't matter about your opinion. It doesn't matter about Richard or I. That's all it boils down to. How much can they control us?
I'm glad he brought that up, Graham, because... If you just continue with the notion that 9/11, at the turn of the century, was this massive and devastating event that had reverberations throughout years that led some people down the rabbit hole, and others into cages of fear. And then between in the interval between 2001 and now, what did we see? So we, of course, Iraq War. And then after 2012 or thereabouts, all these mass shootings. And mass shootings, especially here in the U.S., but also mass shooting events and terrorist events throughout the world. New Zealand, U.K., the London bombings, Charlie Hebdo, Las Vegas, Sandy Hook, all of this that many people listening probably are aware are highly dubious events, and there's a lot of reason to believe these are staged events that just further cement and push forward policy, draconian policy. And the fact that, you know, here in the U.S., I'm always wondering, like, okay, well, how is it that France is also in lockstep with this? How is it that the Netherlands are in lockstep with this? Yeah, you know, it seems like, and it's easy to get that kind of naive purview. And now, 2020, in the very beginning of 2020, we have the complete worldwide version of the fake story, lockdown, crisis actor, fake pandemic, fake or just fear-inducing events that demands and usually receives compliance by the masses. And it's just the most audacious one. But if you think about how audacious 9/11 was, and then all of the years that they've had in between, they've had that's a chance with each event to establish controls and mechanisms in those places where those events occur. Right? Like Charlie Hebdo, or goodness, I forget what else. There's so many of them. You guys can think about them. The Norwegian shooting. All of these events that are traumatic and supposedly mass murder, and they're always senseless, and they're always very ambiguous as to what really happened. You never get to the bottom of it. They have so much in common in that respect. And, well, I think those were all just stepping stones to this most audacious of events, which, once again, like all the prior events, had drills associated with them locally. 9/11 drills, Sandy Hook drills, Las Vegas drills, Parkland shooting drills, Charlie Hebdo drills. It goes on and on. And, well, sure enough, COVID-19 Event 201 drill, it's all right there. And also, if you choose to do some research, you find that there's the World Military Games, which is, I guess, I don't know, an annual exercise. World Military Games, first time I've ever heard about it. But it's purported to have taken place in late 2019 in Wuhan, China. And, of course, the U.S. military participated in that. I mean, it's, they just put all the pieces in place, and it's plain to see for anybody who has the time to look and the wherewithal to look. And then you see these things unfold. Yeah.
And then the
Does
event,
that mean
the event 201,
has to attack China?
The event 201 that happened in October, where they're even talking about the economic lockdown aspect of this. It's just very, very clear that couldn't be a coincidence, you know, for all this to happen right after all of, and look how many people are involved in that. I still need to get my own copy secured while it's still available. From what I understand, you know, it's out there if you want to watch the entire, because they had at least a portion of the presentation, you know, up on YouTube from Event 201. It was, what, October, I want to say like 17th, or don't quote me on the date.
8th, I believe.
8th of October. Okay. I mean, that Event 201, I mean, that's very telling. Don't you agree?
Well, I mean, it's more than telling. It's one of those. Well, I'm at the point where this is so obvious that I wonder if this information is staged.
Because, yeah, I mean
but, it's so in your face. You're like, are you kidding me? I've tried to get people to talk about that, and of course, many of the sources that I read and listen to, that we all do. I mean, they've been on Event 201 for a long time. And it's mind-blowing to think that people can see this. Like, I've had people comment, this is why I wanted to get back to the social media thing. I think that's valuable. Talk about how we are communicating on social media, since that is probably the primary way we are, since we're all around the world, people are like us talking about this. What are your experiences? I've been defriended a couple times this week. I've been called a fucking idiot and insensitive idiot and all kinds of stuff.
I guess see what you were quoting there. So
just doing my best to spread the word in the most polite way.
Right.
Hoping that.
Make good use the F word.
Well, he was quoting there. So I was saying so. I guess it would. It would,
I'm just joking. I'm just
it would
joking.
Apply.
I digress.
Right. You know, folks, looks like we actually are just about out of time here. Closing on the bottom of the hour. I could say that I haven't had interactions. I haven't really been trying to post viewpoints on social media, just try to recruit people to gather elsewhere, namely here, to actually talk about these things. So I haven't bothered approaching it on social media. There's so much censorship and shadow banning. It's wrong, but I don't know. It depends on what you're using it for. I'm using it to get people to the station, you know. So I don't spread too many viewpoints directly on there, and I still get banned or locked out every so often. Not banned, but like right now, I'm on a lockout for no justified reason. I don't know. Anyone else want to comment on that briefly? How things are on social media for you, being awake to the agendas with this situation? Tony, did you have a final thought on that?
No, I don't engage in that, so I'm totally ignorant
right.
of it. I just want to say
okay.
thank you, gentlemen. I enjoyed engaging and really like listening to other people's perspectives, and the more the merrier.
Always a pleasure.
So
yeah,
I welcome all the listeners to join in next time.
Yeah, please.
We can't always catch it live, but...
Well, whenever you can, Tony, I appreciate you jumping in the round table. Any Thursdays you are free. Yeah, thank you. And thank you to Graham, Johnny, Mick. And I hope to have you all on again. And new listeners, please consider jumping in if you've been in the archives and can catch us live. Call in sometime. But have a great night, folks, and cheers.
With your hair flying in roses, you kiss Medusa's touch. A pillar of soul, to die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry?